I think this is the Harry Potter music, isn't it? It is, right? All right.
I have never seen a Harry Potter movie
You've
in my life.
You've never seen a Harry Potter movie, really?
I know that's terrible. I'm the only one.
Hundreds of them. I think there's 150 of them in the series. Why are you staying away from Harry Potter movies?
My kids weren't into it at the beginning. Now they are, and I think they're all caught up, I think. But I don't.
It doesn't do anything for you? The wizardry?
No, I'm not into that.
No? Wow. I hadn't read any of the books. Several of my friends said, you got to read the books because the movies aren't going to make any sense. But the movies make perfect sense. I think I've seen every one of the movies. There's like 8 or 9 of them, I think.
Well, I mean, are the movies really supposed to, you know, I know people read the books and then see the movies, but they're not always even.
There's a little bit of variance. I can't speak to this one directly because I didn't read the books, but I don't think there's ever been a situation where I've both read the book and seen the movie where it's been perfect, you know? And then the ones that I think are great adaptations, like the classic Shining, the Jack Nicholson, Shelley Duvall Shining, although it's a little bit different from the book, I loved it. But then Stephen King himself always badmouths it and says, boy, Kubrick just went nuts on this one. This isn't even close to my vision of what The Shining is. So
yeah,
I didn't
read it. I loved it. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Here's Johnny.
Well, speaking of adaptations, they're doing Rosemary's Baby. Ira Levin, I believe, is the original author of Rosemary's Baby. They're doing a TV version of it, and one of the stars, Jason Isaacs, joins us right now. He's playing the evil Roman Castevets. Jason, thank you for being here.
Well, I'd say evil. I don't know. It depends how you define evil. It depends if you're a fan of Satan or not, basically.
Well, I'm not a fan of Satan's. Wendy isn't really, but I know there's people out there in his camp. So, all right, that's fair enough. Why do they keep going to you? And you play a great bad guy, Jason, but what do you think it is about you that producers and directors say, get me Jason Isaacs. He's my top bad guy.
I'm cheap. I'm available. I've done it before reasonably well without getting laughed off the screen. I don't know. I mean, I have a good time. That's the truth of it. And I try and pick things that I think are well written. And if I'm smart enough and I keep picking the good ones, it makes me look very good. So this is a great story. I mean, the Ira Levin novel is fantastic. And obviously Polanski's film is fantastic. And they had done something very smart with it, I thought, and adapted it by modernizing it completely and putting it in Paris. And casting Zoe Saldana, who I was a huge fan of. And then when they said to me, you know, you play the older couple, and I remember the old couple in the Polanski film, and I was just completely both insulted and horrified. And then I read it, and what they've done is made that couple very chic and sophisticated and sexy and represent the ultimate kind of, you know, French high society. So that's why Rosemary and her husband are seduced into our world. And so it's in many ways a completely new story based on the same premise.
I thought, why not? It's kind of interesting when you think about it, because 1968, the original came out, such a scary, terror-filled movie.
But very much a product of its time. And if you think about what it said, the way it portrays a marriage, for instance, you couldn't portray a marriage like that today, and you wouldn't believe Zoe Saldana being in a marriage like that today. So I think it was very... It's an exercise in paranoia, but it's also a study of men and women. And so telling a story in 2014, you have to tell a completely different story with the same fabulous premise at the heart of it.
So this is no spin-off or anything this is another place where Rosemary's Baby, I say that in quotes, is happening. This is just a different storyline, and you don't need to have seen the first movie to enjoy this miniseries.
Oh, my God, no. There are generations of people who weren't born then. No, I'm hoping there's plenty of people born since 1968 who are going to watch it.
Have you heard of Netflix, Jason?
That's true. But no, it's a creepy, it's much more of a straight-out horror film. It's not an exercise in paranoia, I don't think. I mean, it is a psychological thriller, but it's also true that the twitching corpses pile up by the end. And there's all kinds of gory episodes en route. And if Polanski's film, I say the original, originally it was obviously a book, but if Polanski's film is about what you don't see and you're wondering the whole time whether or not Rosemary is imagining all this, This is far more that horror experience where you know what's going on and you wish you've got a horrible sense of dread and you're screaming at the television, telling Rosemary to look behind her or don't open that door or don't trust this guy or whatever you do, don't, oh, God, she's doing it. And it's that kind of delicious enjoyment you get when you're ahead of the lead character.
You just brought it up, Jason, and I've always thought this about Rosemary's Baby, especially upon repeat viewings. I don't want to use the word subtle, but it, much like Alfred Hitchcock, it was up to the viewer to decide what was going on. Is that carrying over into this new version a little bit?
No. I don't think it is. I think that's what persuaded the people at NBC to make it and realize they were doing something new and different, because partly because it's 4 hours and partly because audiences' tastes have changed and partly because it was done so well back then, so what would be the point? This is a different story. You see what's going on. You see people dying. You see, you know that there is a satanic cult going on, and you just, it's about watching and enjoying the delicious knot in your stomach as you watch these people get reeled in and hope that she's going to discover it and hope that someone else is going to help rescue her or hope that she's going to get out or hope that the husband changes his mind or the various different part, tortuous path that we lead you down as storytellers. And there is some great delight in that. I've always been a huge horror fan myself. And there's a sense in which you both know and hate and love and delight in the story that's being told to you as a horror audience. It's almost more audience participation than any other genre, I think.
And you're right. Times have changed. We want to see it all now. We don't want it left to our mind. We want to see all the gore and creepiness right before our very eyes.
Yeah. And also, Zoe Saldana is not a woman who's a victim. She's just not that person in real life, and she's not going to be that person on screen either. And frankly, if weird stuff started happening to me in my life, I'm sure this is true of you, it would take an awful lot before I thought that the devil or something supernatural was going on. I would question myself, and I would question everybody else, and I would live in denial, or I would, before I started confiding to other people that I thought there were evil forces at bay, it would take an awful lot. And that's played realistically in our piece.
Jason, are you in the camp? There's always actors that do get kind of pigeonholed or typecast as playing villains, and you're in that bracket right now. You play a great villain. Is it more fun to play a bad guy than a good guy?
Oh, no. The only fun is to play well-written parts in well-told stories. So,
yeah.
I'm about to go off and do a miniseries for USA called Dig about playing an FBI guy who's trying to stop these end-of-days extremists and lunatics from bringing about the end of the world in Jerusalem. And Awake, I thought, was a beautifully written series for NBC where there was a detective who didn't know which of his worlds was real. And, I try as much as I can and give myself a varied dish, but mostly I just read a script and go, do I care? Do I want to know what happens next? Is it interesting? Is it fun to watch? And whether or not they're evil, good, or anything in between, the most important thing to me is can I do it? Can I imagine being that person? And will the audience enjoy watching me?
I saw the previews for this. It looks so good. And if anything, it's going to be a public service announcement promoting abstinence for young children. Don't have sex or you'll give birth to the devil.
Right.
Well, what I thought, it's funny. It's called Rosemary's Baby. For me, in many ways, the show is about her husband, partly because most of my scenes are with him, but partly because it's her husband Guy's vanity, that narcissism in him, that in the end will make any sacrifice for fame and success and wealth and all those things that I think resonates with everybody, particularly obviously actors or people who live in Los Angeles like I do, that there is that slightly damaged need inside a lot of people where they would cross every ethical boundary known to themselves or anybody else to get the things that they think they deserve.
Jason,
and that's enjoyable.
This is falling under the auspices of being a miniseries. There was a time where miniseries were commonplace. They've kind of ebbed a little bit. We're not seeing that many. If this is a hit, if Rosemary's Baby is a huge hit and gets tremendous ratings, did they find a way to maybe extend it a little bit?
Well, actually, miniseries are on the way back. Since Hatfield and McCoy's and The Bible did so well that certainly network television, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox and stuff, are doing far more of them now, commissioning far more what they now call them limited series
right. Instead
of miniseries or event series. But the language may change, but the idea is the same, that they realize that it's a kind of golden age for the viewer. There's so many places to watch great scripted drama now, online and all the cable, basic cable and pay cable, that the broadcast networks are themselves having to get a lot more creative. And, you know, it may not be a great time to be a television executive, but it's a great time to be a viewer because all kinds of new dishes are getting served up.
But if this works, we could see Rosemary's Preschooler next year, couldn't we? They could extend this into a series.
Tweener.
Right.
Anything could happen. The baby goes to college.
Yep.
I'm not sure, but I certainly think it's true that I remember sitting down to watch miniseries with my family. I mean, I remember sitting down and watching Rich Man, Poor Man, the very first miniseries.
The best.
And Roots and all the rest of them.
Yeah, yep. That was good.
But, you know, I think the people at NBC, for instance, you know, Bob and Jen who run NBC, they have been very creative for a while. You know, they are the first people to do a live musical broadcast. They did, you know, for decades. They did Sound of Music, which worked very well. I think the landscape is changing for viewers all the time,
NBC,
which is great.
NBC's Rosemary's Baby, Jason Isaacs on the line with us. It airs Sunday at 8 o'clock. Was this supposed to coincide with Mother's Day? This was intentional, wasn't it?
I think it was. I think it's a very brilliant, perverse, darkly sick and entertaining idea that it's going out on Mother's Day and on the Thursday after.
Jason, we love your work. We hope you continue to work for many, many years to come, playing good guys and bad guys. You're always tremendous, and we'll be watching Sunday when Rosemary's Baby premieres on NBC.
And where have
Thanks
you registered?
Very much indeed.
Where have you registered for the baby's gifts?
I think Satan or Us.
Satan or Us.
Perfect.
Online Satan or Us.
We'll check your list.
Thank you, Jason. Jason Isaacs, everybody.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Rosemary's Baby coming up on Sunday. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.